Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. Knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And they're epic euphoria gummies. Well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardioMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardioMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardioMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, everybody. What do we got here, D'Anthony? It's your beef fry.
Yeah, it's Mike Mahalski from Sons of Liberty Gunworks.
Yeah, you guys working on a new dish for D'Anthony. Dan, I feel like you're always getting cool shit from down there. What are you guys working on together?
It's a 300 blackout, and you're working on some other stuff on it now. Tell them, let's hear what's actually getting put into this thing.
So it's our M76, which is our M476, which is kind of our flagship gun. It's solid, and I think there's some exciting stuff coming up with suppressors soon, and that is a really good platform to suppress.
So. When you say exciting stuff coming up with suppressors, you mean stuff in the Supreme Court?
No, so we're pretty sure we're going to get something called E-File Form 4, and that will bring suppressor weight down to like weeks instead of months.
Really?
Yeah, wow. That's
because right now it's 6 to 9 months if you're lucky.
Long time, yeah.
That's why people don't buy suppressors. It's not price. It's because who wants to wait 9 months?
Yeah.
But you're talking potentially weeks if this E-File Form 4 goes through, and it looks like it's probably going to.
And who's deciding on that?
That's the ATF. They're not doing us any favors. I have the problem with that is that that's kind of the upside to the downside, and the downside is they're probably trying to pave the way for some type of enhanced registry or something. But suppressor wait times are going to be coming down.
Oh, are they?
That'd be good.
Yeah. It seems like the ATF is always helping you guys out.
Yeah. How many? I would love to hear some data on how many times a fucking suppressor has been used in the commission of a crime. I bet it's less than 10 per year.
Or that you know about.
No. You can always tell. You can tell by the way, like, especially if it's up close, you can tell by the powder burn on somebody's skin and shit like that.
What if it's from far away? Because I've seen, suppressors from far away, then how could you tell, I guess?
Metallurgic match on the fucking, if the round didn't get destroyed when it went into the person's body or whatever it landed in, you can tell the difference between the rifled inside of a barrel and the suppressor on like a microscopic level when you look at that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if a bullet, there should be no marks on a bullet passing through a suppressor because it should make zero contact in its flight through
it,
there.
It should, yeah.
But
it doesn't make contact. The gas squeezes it and warps the shape of the bullet because it's hot by the time it gets there.
There's suppressor boost. It'd be interesting. I'd be interested to see the what effects it has on the physical.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm gonna research that, dude. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I ask is I'm about murder, obviously. If I'm looking to pick somebody off from, 200 suppress, I obviously don't want anybody to hear in the forest and all that other stuff. Like, you never know. I'm just trying to protect myself here.
Killing somebody should not involve you getting tinnitus.
Okay.
I mean you gotta think of your future.
Yeah.
As far as suppressors being used in crimes, though, NFA items of any kind used in crimes is exceedingly rare. I wanted to say, like, up until like maybe 2 years ago, there was two or three documented cases of legal NFA owned items having ever been used in, a murder.
And
that's since 1934.
NFA items would include short barrel rifle.
Short barrel shotguns. Suppressors. Now, granted, these are ones that are registered and legally owned.
Correct.
But as far as suppressors being used in crimes or murders, I can think of one incident. And I'm not even sure if that thing was, legally purchased. Not that it matters, but it's just exceedingly rare.
Okay.
Exceedingly rare. I'm talking like highly anomalous.
Yeah. You know what else is exceedingly rare? Is Kamala Harris heading down to the border. I walked into that this morning and I was like, what is this? What do you do here when they send you down to Guatemala and they haven't even sent you to our own border to check out the kids in the cages when that's when you ran off of? It's exceedingly rare that she's ever going to go down to our physical border. And she took a lot of heat for that today.
Boy, the memes have been nonstop on both sides, actually. This is actually an issue that got everybody. Mm-hmm. Dan, before we came in, you said AOC actually had a statement on it. Can you pull up her Twitter, Hot Mom?
Yeah. Yeah, AOC definitely talks some shit, but that's what she does, right?
Well, look, if she's going against her own side, that's what we want to see more of, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to truly break down this party system or actually work with one another, you have to be able to call it out on both sides if you're being a fucking idiot.
Right.
I don't mind seeing that out of her because, look, she ran on that in her own district and then had those photos at the border, Dan, AOC, that were really real of herself.
Super real, yeah.
Up against the cages.
She was up against the chain link fence looking at it like she was watching old Yeller get shot behind that building. And then when you pan out from that, it's an empty parking lot, which is kind of embarrassing, to be honest.
Now,
I mean, somebody took that picture, and then she or somebody on her team said, you know, if you just push in on her face, it's a lot more meaningful.
Right.
It's also less true.
Now, Kamala Harris hasn't even bothered to do that, even to take a fake photo.
Now, she's real busy because the Naval Observatory is under construction right now, so she doesn't have a place to live.
Ah.
So she's homeless right now.
She's actually
in Austin right down the street from the City Hall living in one of those tents.
You don't say.
Yeah.
You don't say.
It's rough. Rough. It's rough times out there, yeah.
The memes that have been going back and forth, though, have been classic. This no, don't come, and then Trump, I'm going to come.
Yeah, that was a funny one. So here's what AOC said. She said, this is disappointing to see. First, seeking asylum at any U.S. border is a 100% legal method of arrival. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. The way we've processed them, the shit I've been talking about the last couple of weeks on American Party and on Alex Jones is very problematic. People are being victimized, and our national sovereignty is being challenged by that, but that is a fact that you can seek asylum here. The second thing she says is that the U.S. spent decades contributing to regime change and destabilization in Latin America. We can't help set someone's house on fire then blame them for fleeing. Also true.
Okay.
Sorry. I mean, that's absolutely true. We dropped poison on Colombian farmland to keep them from growing coca plants to make cocaine. We fucking installed dictators all over the place fucking these people over and giving narco terrorists immense power, which these narco terrorists are now using to help Hezbollah, by the way. So we've certainly been complicit. She's not wrong about what she's saying, but her, obviously, you know, at the end of the day, what she wants is just to bring everybody here.
Right. Oh yeah. Yes.
So
yes,
she's right about the first part, but her fucking, her instincts to not have some kind of security protocol in place, right?
Well, she wants socialism and open borders and all that stuff, which will never work in a million years. No. Otherwise, we would just go back to Pangea at that point.
Yeah.
But it is nice for a politician to call out another politician on the left and say, hey, guys, I don't understand what's going on here or you know why we're not fixing the problem. And I don't get it either, man. Why did they ship her off to Guatemala first? I mean, I know the majority of the immigrants are coming from there, but for what? And then why lie in that interview like that?
I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, the story on Mediate today says unnamed White House quote-unquote insiders were left perplexed by the performance of Vice President Kamala Harris on a recent trip to Guatemala, blah, blah, blah. The report came from CNN, from Jeremy Diamond, And he was there on the trip and, you know, it's, I don't know, what her role in this government is. It seems like she's just a lightning rod for people to be able to hammer all the time. So Biden doesn't get nicked. That's kind of what it seems like right now.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Is that what you signed up for though? If you're her, like, you know,
I mean, typically no one gives a fuck about the vice president
ever. But in this case, this was the first time that a president was elected who was so old that you actually didn't think he would make it for four full years. So it became a big deal.
Yeah.
Because even Biden himself made it a big deal during campaigning of, look, you're not only voting for me, you're voting for who could succeed me if I were to expire untimely. And yes.
Or become unwell enough to continue the job, which is correct. Arguably already here.
Already there, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of people have taken this chance to point out or I'm sorry, a lot of people taking this chance to criticize her on both sides. This is probably the first time that Harris has received unanimous hate from pretty much everybody, right? Which is interesting mm-hmm. because considering her criminal justice record, you would think that the left would despise this woman.
But they did. They did up until they were told not to. Yeah, she was not well-liked at all. She was the first
person bounced.
Right. So she was not well-liked. No. And up until, you know, it became, you know, this party line entrenched thing where you had to defend her in order to defend your entire, you know, narrative, right?
Mm. Right.
But I think these politicians are so used to the media covering for them that they don't feel like there's any accountability. So you can get up there and say, yeah, I've been to the border. And, you know, you're used to not having to answer any kind of hard question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, it's like, come on, man. Why are you trying to poop? And it's like my fucking job to get the truth, bitch. Yeah, like, well, yeah, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah, I thought we were boys. You know?
And speaking of which, there was a reporter who asked Dr. Jill Biden the other day.
Dr. Jill Biden.
She's a doctor.
Of education, yeah. Did they ask her who taught her son to repeatedly use
The N-word over and over again? But we'll get to that again after this, right after the Kamala Harris thing, because I think that's a perfect place to segue from Kamala Harris to Hunter Biden, obviously. Yeah. But with that, they asked her what her, because she has a book coming out, a lot of money for that book for Dr. Jill Biden, and they asked her what it was like during that election and what happened specifically when Kamala Harris went on the attack against Joe Biden on stage and called him a racist, and then said that she rode the
buses. And,
correct.
For segregation. Yeah.
Afterwards, it was reported that Jill, his wife, said, fuck you, literally, fuck you. You know my husband's not a racist. How dare you say that in front of the world and on this stage and everything else? And they said, can you confirm that? And the response was, elections are heated. I can neither confirm or deny what was said during this particular time period. So obviously she said it.
Yeah, that's an admission. That's not a denial. That's clear.
And that's fine. But look,
I mean, that's probably a reasonable thing for her to say.
That's what you would want your wife to say. Yeah. So that's not shocking at all, but it just goes to prove how much their own side, like Biden himself and his wife, hated Harris. So to end up with her in this spot and now going through all the shit you're going through with this. I mean, this is her first trip, and it was a fucking disaster. And like Dan was saying earlier, you know, the White House's statement, they were perplexed by her performance. Why? You knew what you were getting back, you know, fucking 10 months ago when all this started.
Well, it's the same thing with Hillary Clinton. We talked about this on Mike's going to be, or he was on American Party today, or this past week. I guess this is going up Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about just cognitive dissonance in politics and like an internal willful distortion of the truth. Because when Hillary Clinton ran for president in 2016, you could say she checked all the boxes. And when I say checked all the boxes, I mean she checked every box that progressive and Democrats in this country hate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like she attacked women who had been sexually assaulted to discredit them. She was for the crime bill. Right,
super pro-corporate, a war monger.
She voted for the Iraq War both times. She voted for the Patriot Act. She was anti-marriage equality until 2013.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff, and the narrative from the media was she's the single most qualified candidate for president in history. Like, really?
Yeah.
But from the left's perspective, she should not have even qualified to be in the conversation. Right.
Agreed.
And then when it came time to vote, the way the DNC treated Bernie, there was no way she was getting elected. Like that whole narrative about how Trump fucking used Russia to do whatever the fuck is absolute nonsense. She is one of the most unlikable people of all time.
Yep.
And they also took a darling of the party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And completely publicly fucked him over.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
You stupid fucks. So now, I mean, he's right about this, and I can't figure it out yet. I think it has a lot to do with that Veritas report that we talked about last week, where the different rules for how they approach COVID. They have a schema internally that's built into their algorithm where they can set limitations, put in certain parameters, and it will automatically filter out certain content, delete it automatically, or not show it to anybody, right? And you're telling me that these motherfuckers who, by the way, just re-banned Trump for another 2 years, basically, or proactive from January 6th,
right?
Aren't using that for the politics stuff?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? Of course they are.
Yeah.
Because there's no other explanation for why Kamala Harris was the first person bounced, right? She was the most unpopular Democrat. And then you put in a geriatric person who is clearly having problems just stringing a sentence together with her waiting in the wings, and that gets elected. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist or something, but Kamala was very unpopular, right?
She has been in the Democratic Party for a while.
For a while. Yeah. And that was, but what's interesting, though, is how protected she was, right? Because, I mean, Tulsi's attack on her or comment on her, on that was like a stand-and-cheer moment, right? I mean, that hit home. And as soon as that happened, Tulsi Gabbard's microphone was, proverbial microphone was immediately muted, right?
Yeah,
that was the end of her Google everything.
She was run out of town, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, and it was simply for, I think, having a really effective attack on Kamala, because she was probably going to be groomed for the VP spot the whole time.
Yeah, it seems like that is that. I mean, that's what I said before. I couldn't. She was my prediction for VP the entire time, just because of all that shit. Like, most people didn't believe it because of how disliked she was, but I'm like, Hillary Clinton got the fucking nomination.
And I can tell you Hollywood-wise, on the insider like donations tip, when this all kicked off for the Democratic Party, Kamala was the one that drew the biggest reception. I believe it was in Oakland, Dan. There was maybe 40,000 people there. She drew the most amount of donation money. So they do these private luncheons behind the scenes right before you're about to run to kind of gauge who can gain the most funding and that people like and everything else.
Right.
And early on, very, very early on, she had the most donations, way more than Biden. Biden was out of money heading into South Carolina for that primary. If he didn't win South Carolina, it was over for him, and he was out of cash. She had plenty of cash going into this. She was a fan favorite in Hollywood. It was also going to be the first black woman who was going to be president of the United States. Not only first woman, but first black woman as well. She checked all of the boxes, and then she got on stage. And people just didn't like her.
Yeah,
and that's what happened with Hillary Clinton, like you were talking about earlier. You can't prepare for that. It's like a Beto. He looks like the guy who looks like the stand-in for a Kennedy. If he was going Christian Bale in a movie and, whittling down like the machinist to 120 pounds. That's the guy you put in there as the stand-in for JFK. But then he opened his mouth and you were like, oh, fuck. I don't understand what this guy's saying. You can't account for that.
Yeah, there's a chemistry and a likability factor, and you either like JFK had it, and Beto doesn't. Plus, like, while Kennedy was an actual like elitist, like, he didn't come off that way, right? I mean, kind of seemed more. Beto sounds like an elitist, which I don't think resonates well with that.
It doesn't. And look, there's half the country that believes in that, half the other half that doesn't. Obviously, and with Trump, it was the same thing when Trump spoke. Huge, great, China,
blue-collar billionaire.
The complete opposite of a Beto or somebody else, where that turns off half the people, and the other people are like, fuck yeah.
I mean, it's entertaining. Nobody's entertained by being chastised by someone who thinks they're better than them.
Yes.
Particularly somebody who has a fucking trust fund, right?
Yes.
Like, no one's, or somebody whose family has always been in politics or anything like that. Like,
and that was the thing with Trump, was people knew Trump had money, but he flaunted the money and always did shit with it. So it wasn't like he was trying to hide it, where the others are definitely trying to hide it, of creating these backgrounds that aren't really them. Or like Robert O'Rourke is a big one. Now I'm Beto because I live in fucking, it's what my Mexican nanny called me. It was just like, all right, great, man. That's cool. Kamala was just like, I did this and I was a young girl on the bus. And it was just like, well,
it's the identity thing. It's just so bizarre. But as far as the Innocence Project, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have been one of the biggest critics of Kamala Harris for a long time, of her practices as a district attorney, right? And so she was just not well liked on that side, but she was groomed. And I think if you have a friendly media, you can frame anything and sell anything you want.
Well, certainly. That's why I think the media was complicit in that. I think social media was complicit in that as well. There's no other explanation for how someone that unpopular actually made it over the hump. Now the one argument that people make is that Trump was wildly unpopular at that point. for a variety of reasons, right? I mean, and he also didn't do a great job of campaigning, frankly, because he
Trump?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like the campaigning he did against mail-in voting, like he should have
I agree.
He should have
for mail-in voting, but
and he also
his biggest strength is rallies, and that got nuked because of COVID, and then even he jumped the gun and went out early.
There's social media for that. I don't believe that.
But he was shut out of all of it.
I actually went to some of the self-organized Trump rallies just to observe. I went to some of the self-organized Biden rallies too, just to kind of observe what was going on. And I mean, you know, in South Texas, like Laredo, which is 99.9% or 99.8%, I think, Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had like an 8 mile long caravan of cars. There was a ton of voter enthusiasm surrounding Trump, and honestly, he did get more votes than any other candidate in history except Biden.
Right. The shit talking he did about mail in voting should have been more nuanced. It should have been like, this is something we need to look at as a matter of security. But if that's the best option for you, you should go do that.
Yeah, but the problem is that they waited until the fight was over to address that. They should have been addressing all of these really unconstitutional law changes and stuff that some of these states were taking to set themselves up to be able to do that, right? They addressed it way too late. And one more thing, I mean, if you look at like the October surprise, which was Hunter Biden's laptop and all that, they honestly thought that that was going to have the impact that historically something like that would, right?
Yeah.
But whenever you have a media that just completely fucking mutes you.
Yeah, and social media.
Social media, right? So, I mean, like, you know, Giuliani and these guys were made out to be, you know, looked at as kooks and stuff. So Trump went into there thinking, hey, I have this grenade I'm about to throw at him. Dude, well, if a tree falls in the woods, you know, and so.
Yeah, but he tried to play their game. He had the facts on his side, the facts that pre-COVID we had the best economy in our history, that particularly for black and brown people. He had the facts about the Middle East peace deals. He had the facts about most of these things. Immigration was under control. China was under control.
Well, I mean, he calls it the Chinese virus because, I mean, at this point, I don't even think it's disputed that this thing came from a lab in China.
I don't know if there's direct evidence right now, but it is certainly the most probable thing that happened, right?
I know a lot of careers were ruined, right? You know, like 6 months ago, you would have, and I'm talking credentialed scientists that came out and said this stuff, right? And they were destroyed. And now, you know,
The other part he did was fall into their game, trying to play the identity shit, trying to rally his people against the identity shit instead of just putting the information out there, putting the information, like leaning into the deplorables thing, like, all right, cool, we're deplorables, whatever. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z for you. I'm going to fucking lower your taxes. I'm going to fucking strengthen the border. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then he did all those things, and he didn't run on those things. He ran on identity again. That's why he fucking lost a lot of voters, in my opinion.
That first debate was a disaster.
Yeah, I think social media certainly, him getting boxed out and the fucking content from other people getting squelched on social media 100% led to a different outcome in this election. I don't know if it would have flipped the results, but definitely affected it in a major way. But also the fact that he ran on an attack mode instead of running on his own credentials was a huge mistake.
I agree.
It was a huge fucking mistake.
I agree. And what you were talking about just a second ago was with the Hunter Biden laptop thing, where traditionally, yes, that would have nuked out a candidate right before the election.
It would have changed momentum, for sure.
Absolutely. They buried that story. We weren't allowed to post a picture or anything. They would pull it down. Obviously, the New York Post wasn't allowed to post any articles. And then last night, you get the treasure trove of text messages.
I missed this one.
Oh, you did. No. Hot Bob, can you bring that up, please? Bring up Hunter Biden's text messages last night. That's a fun one.
It was text that he was sending to his attorney and their friends or whatever.
It was more N-words than a Papa John's speech. So,
it wasn't a hard R, though. He was like...
Yeah, it was more of a rapper, like a playful rapper, I guess, if you will.
It was basically what happened to that, who's that fucking dumb shit country singer?
Oh, yeah, there they are.
I don't know what his name is. I don't care.
Are they
Morgan Wallen?
Yeah, Morgan Wallen.
Are they bleeped out? On that one, I think they are, right? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, just in casual conversation, he's... pretending to be a rapper
to his, who is it, his doctor?
No, it's a fucking
Lawyer?
Yeah, I think it's a lawyer, now, a tax attorney, or some shit like that. Now, I don't remember.
In all fairness, you know, if all things being equal, you know, intent has a lot to do with how people should be judged, right?
Yeah.
So if he didn't mean that to be derogatory in a racial way, then I don't really have a problem with it. The problem I have is, would I be given the same pass? Would you be given the same pass
if you were to absolutely not?
If you were to say it like in a rap kind of way,
if these were Donald Trump Jr. texts or Eric Trump,
it'd be any racist KKK family.
Yeah.
We knew it. They've got fucking Klan sheets under the bed.
Yeah. So people, this is what's happening in modern media, modern politics. People develop a narrative intended to weaken their opponent. Right? Trump is a racist. Right? Whatever it is, that's a narrative now. And any piece of evidence that comes anywhere close to that, confirmation bias, because they need to prove that, you just dump that in there, right? That's more proof. And then you make a bunch of other assumptions, and every time you get a new piece of evidence, at least evidence that you think is evidence to that narrative, then you go ahead and believe that your assumptions are also true, and you push that as reality. But that none of that is reality.
No,
it's all part of that is reality.
The problem I have is that ire should be, you know, distributed equally, right? I mean, if you're gonna call somebody out for that on one side, it should be done on the other. And the problem I have is the hypocrisy into the different standards that different sides are held, and that's the issue. You know, I think a lot of people have. It's not that, you know, I don't think Hunter Biden is necessarily a racist. I don't know the man, I would assume he's probably not. But if Donald Trump Jr. would have said that, though, that would be the end of his Twitter and Facebook and everything else. It'd be done.
Yes.
You know,
the double standard is what I hate, because I'm with you on this. Look, man, in private conversations with things like this, clearly it was joke. He wasn't using a hard ER or anything else or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what their relationship is outside of this text message and everything else. You just want the same treatment on both sides, as far as social media-wise goes and everybody else, especially for the president's son. He's clearly had problems in the past and continues to have them, but he's been allowed on, you know, every major media outlet show.
With a chance to redeem himself.
For his book and everything else. And
I mean, that's really interesting. It's one thing to do what CNN did with Cuomo and ignore it. It's another thing.
That's so criminal.
Well, he helped his brother.
Well, yeah, behind the scenes, he certainly did. But it's another thing altogether to be complicit in a public cover-up, right?
Yeah, or a public execution of someone's character, right?
The inverse. Either way, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, yeah. So it's frustrating to watch, and I don't know what the solution is other than, you know, I've kind of tuned it out. I've stopped taking some of these allegations seriously, no matter who levies them. Mm-hmm. I just kind of, you know.
Yeah,
almost ignore it.
I mean, those are non-factors for me. Unless somebody's doing something that is direct evidence of some kind of problem that's negatively affecting other people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I don't give a shit. Fuck, do I care what somebody's doing or what they're how? Why would I care what kind of fucking private conversations people are having with their friends and coworkers and shit? Like, why should that affect anything that I feel about that person? Because you say the most horrible shit to the people you are closest to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the understanding is you both know it's not real. Mm-hmm. So you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Mike, you've been on the show before. We got some sponsors who put the shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Come on, dude. They got the new pillows back. They got the new pillows, and you get two of them for free when you get a mattress. Just go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and sign up. Now, with that, let's say you choose a mattress. You get the two free pillows, and you're like, man, I don't know if I can afford this. You hop on down to the bottom. They got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest if you have decent credit. And they've got a running calculator so you can see how much all of this shit is combined. Nobody does that for you. Usually you get to check out and you're surprised with a bunch of hidden fees and all this other stuff. Not at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Sleep so good it's scary. It's one of those things in life you have to have to go through the day and be a positive person. Otherwise, you're just a cocksucker. And that's fine if you want to be a cocksucker, but, you know, you might want to get some sleep and see how life treats you. Get a ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. Next up, we got a new one and a true one. I can't believe they're on the show, actually. This is a big deal. Dekt is on the show. If you don't know what Dekt is, you probably don't drive a pickup truck. Well, we've got four or five at the office, and we all love Dekt. This is the Dekt drawer system that you see in everybody's pickup truck, and you're like, shit, dude, I don't know if I can get that. Yes, you can. Get your Dekt drawer system at Dekt.com/drinking bros, and you're going to get free shipping on this. Why is that a big deal? The free shipping probably saves you, no lie, $200 or $300. I had mine shipped to my house. It's heavy as shit. Look, you could take a fucking jackhammer to this goddamn thing. You're not going to be able to open it. If you own a pickup truck, chances are you've seen a Dekt system. You know what it's like to have your stuff rattling around the back of the cab or under the seats. It's a pain in the ass to keep organized. Not only that, but everything you put in your truck bed, usually unsecured and exposed to the elements. For my truck, dude, I had to get the Dekt drawer system. We got them on two of ours here. I'm a gigantic fan. I can't believe they reached out to the show. It's awesome. Dekt makes your organizing and accessing all your stuff and protecting it, securing it so much easier. They've got two full bed-length drawers that can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you want, and the drawers roll out and they're waist high. They give you easy access to all your organized tool and gear, and it has a 2,000-pound payload capacity load floor. The drawers slide in underneath the floor, plus they're weatherproof. Nothing is getting through your Dekt drawer system, and it keeps everything secure. They've got a bunch of stuff on there. So if you want the toolbox that's up top, close to the back window, they got that as well. If you want the full length for the whole bed, and then you want to put stuff on top of that bed, they got that as well. It's 100% made in the USA, backed by a 3-year no-hassle warranty with second-to-none customer service. And that's they're there to answer all your questions. So if you're worried about, all right, cool, I have this type of car, what size should I get? They'll walk you through it. They're the best. Get your Dekt drawer system at Dekt, DECKED.com/drinking bros, and get free shipping. That is Dekt, DECKED.com/drinking bros, for free shipping on your Dekt drawer system. Dekt.com/drinking bros. I'm telling you, that free shipping is going to save you about $300. Last but not least, we want to give a shout out to everybody who's been buying the audiobook for At Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed, and When Darkness Falls, he doesn't catch it. And then the new one, As the Sun Rises, It Dawns on Him. This is with me, D'Anthony, Jesse, the whole crew's there. We hired a bunch of voiceover actors to do it. The book is murdering. I'm not even asking you to buy it. Just go to Audible. Burn a free credit on it. Still counts for daddy. Those things have been on fire, and I greatly appreciate all your support on these. If you want to hear Dan be a rare African parrot or a 55-year-old Asian man, now is your chance. You can pick up the entire series on Audible or iTunes today. Usually these audiobooks are over 6 hours, so have fun. I appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, like the concept of context. I mean, context is everything, you know. But again, I'm not defending Hunter Biden. I'm defending the concept of context.
Yeah. And here's what I will defend regarding him, right? Anyone should be allowed to have their own privacy. I am not a fan of people leaking bullshit like this and everything else for clout or money or...
Yeah, I wonder who leaked it. Yes. Is it a reporter or something?
If that's his attorney, isn't that privileged?
It's definitely not him.
I doubt his attorney did it.
No, there's no way his attorney
did it. I mean, he would get disbarred for that.
He would get disbarred. Sure. Somebody leaked this and did whatever they wanted to.
I'm sure it was a reporter. Somebody gave it to some reporter. It's a reporter fucking posted it, probably.
Probably.
I mean, that's probably what happened. And in that case, that reporter...
But how do they get it off the guy's phone? You know
who
what
knows,
I'm saying?
Man.
It sounds like some ex-girlfriend work.
Taking a screenshot of it when you have their phone or something.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of any of that and being caught in a gotcha moment like that. Yeah. Like, even in that last election where they were the grabbing by the pussy line, right? Mm. When Trump was on a hot mic. Yeah. And was it Billy Bush was just like, oh, that's just locker room talk, and people do that shit all the time. They do. We say awful shit all the time behind the scenes. whatever he said behind the scenes clearly was not meant for the public and whatever else. But I mean, you catch any one of us, as soon as cameras aren't rolling, we say the worst shit in the world to each other over and over and over
again. Like you said, intent matters, right?
Yeah.
Like if you say something that offends somebody, that doesn't necessarily make it wrong, first of all, that it offended somebody. Like calling somebody an idiot might offend them. It should, probably. But if they're a fucking idiot, then what I said was accurate.
Yes.
Just saying. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's not always the case, but if people are like, I don't like that. I don't like that movie. I don't like that swear word. Where was it meant for you? Yeah. Go watch it.
And you got to be careful to start creating these impossible purity tests.
Oh, yeah. Stupid.
That nobody could possibly live up to, you know?
I mean, I don't want someone that's perfect in charge of me. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't want anybody in charge of me for one. So,
for sure. Well, I just mean like in the government. Right. Like you don't want, I don't want, the DEA is the worst at this. The DEA, basically, if you've ever used drugs of any kind ever, you're not working there.
No.
If you tell the truth about it.
No.
Now, it seems like they should have a bunch of people who have used drugs so they know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Man.
That should be a whole training course, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense. So when I see things like that, my brain just shuts down. It's like, what the fuck?
There was a bit of a shift, right? Because, I mean, when Obama wrote his book, I don't know if it was before his candidacy.
It was before 2006. But he came
out. Yeah, but he came out with
another one,
The Audacity of Hope. Is that what right, I'm talking about?
He came out with, you know, cocaine use and drug use and things of that nature. And I wonder if you kind of get ahead of that. That way, you take away whatever the other side could potentially use against you. But at the same time, you know, I don't necessarily think that any of those things are in and of themselves disqualifying.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I don't really give a shit.
I mean, it's like the old tweets thing. People getting canceled for decade-old tweets. Our friend Kelly in Vegas just got hit with that.
Oh.
From 2009.
You're kidding. What happened to her?
Some shit. She kept saying F-A-G to dudes who were, like, sexually harassing her on the internet.
And they started
posting screenshots of it.
Did they fire? Is she still there?
ESPN fired her, yes.
They did?
Yeah.
I did not hear that.
It's for shit that happened, like, literally 10 years ago. So,
Jesus Christ.
That's such a bizarre thing.
It is bizarre.
I think about this every time I hear like Dire Straits on the radio, the Money for Nothing, like the lyrics in there, you know, this little, he's got his own jet airplane. I'm like, man.
It's context, right?
Well, it's kind
of, he's making fun of the fact that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, man, you couldn't write that song. It's a great song. But you couldn't get that, you know, an album.
Rappers use it all the time.
Do they?
Oh, still? Dude. All the time.
Really?
All the time, yes. Yes,
that's good. I mean, I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying that, you know, the ability to not restrict speech is good, right?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Look, if somebody's going to get pissed off about it, don't buy the fucking album. You know, that is what it is on that one.
It seems pretty easy.
We got some breaking news here. Fauci just did an interview with Chuck Todd and went completely fucking nuclear. This is great.
Who's he blaming what for now?
Oh, this is the best. Dr. Fauci.
Oh, he said attacking me is attacking science.
See, no. He goes, here's the beauty of it.
Oof.
I love when people refer to themselves in the third person. Always been a big fan of that. Ricky Henderson, myself included. He says, when you attack Dr. Anthony Fauci, you are attacking science. Yeah. Yeah, you are. Dr. Anthony Fauci is science. Can I get a... Yes, is there... There it is. Yep. Mm. Got it. Thank you.
That's kind of a...
I like that. I like that a lot.
Good Lord.
When you attack Ross Patterson, you're attacking a sexual icon.
That's kind of a I am the law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I am the law. Hey, I am the law.
Yeah. That's
Stallone.
That is megalomania is the word for that. By the way, you think of yourself as something so highly trained, so important, so just so immutable, whatever it is, that you honestly believe that you've become the institution. Well, that's like that's fucking madness.
And I'll give you the context for it.
It says here
the impetus for Fauci's
impetus
screed. The impetus for Fauci's screed on Wednesday was a video from Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, who floated a conspiracy theory that the infectious disease expert was colluding with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg on a narrative about COVID-19.
Well, we know Zuck has been doing it.
Correct.
Whether Fauci's involved or not, it remains to be seen, but Mark Zuckerberg is definitely doing it. No, we know that for a fact.
Is this the Mandela effect? I thought there was an email where they had a conversation about this that was revealed.
With Zuckerberg? I don't know about that.
Veritas had said.
Veritas.
Yes. Well, they had released Facebook's own internal data saying this, but to my knowledge, I did not see an email with Fauci participating and Zuckerberg. Correct.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
So him saying that questioning Fauci is questioning science. Isn't that the antithesis of science?
Yeah, actually, Blackburn is now saying Dr. Fauci was emailing with Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook trying to create that narrative, cherry-picking information so that you would only know what they wanted you to know. And there would be a narrative that would fit with this cherry-picked information. Fauci responded by saying, I don't have a clue what she just said. I don't have a clue what she's talking about. And I'm sorry, I don't want to be pejorative against a United States senator, but I have no idea what she's talking about. And, you know, Chuck, as in Chuck Todd, if you go through each and every one of these points, which are so ridiculous, just painfully ridiculous, if you go through each and every one of them, you can explain and debunk it immediately. Which, no, you can't. Like, just say you didn't do it.
Man, I mean, that's interesting. But
say you had no contact with Zuckerberg. It's pretty easy. Say I have never had contact with Facebook or Mark Zuckerberg, and I have nothing to do with it whatsoever. Yeah,
but that's not true, though.
But in the way the mob didn't have contact, you know, the boss didn't have contact with the hitman, right? I'm sure there was some liaison involved, you know.
Some handoffs.
Yeah. You don't give the order yourself.
Sorry, I was just looking on Merriam-Webster.com. Pejorative is not a verb. So nice try, asshole.
Great.
That's like Mike Tyson.
That's fine. It's like trying me to sometimes. Go through.
Well, that's true too. Yeah,
I'm terrible at it.
I'm so smart that I am science, but I don't know words. Shut the fuck up, old man. Somebody needs to drag this dude to the street and shit on his chest.
Oh, I like that. OBJ would be great.
His fucking hair out. Piss on him. He needs to be shamed through town like fucking Game of Thrones. Yeah. This guy has ruined so many people's fucking lives.
Shame.
Holy
shame,
shit, man.
Shame.
With his
shame.
With his little tiny fucking dick out.
So he went on to say, it's very dangerous, Chuck, because a lot of what you're seeing is attacks on me. Quite frankly, these attacks are on science because all the things I've spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people and there was pushback against me. So if you're trying to get at me as a public official and scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, yes, third person, you are attacking science. And anyone that looks at what is going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. I don't buy any of his bullshit.
This dude needs to be in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. And
people are fucking dead because of him. A lot of people are dead.
Out of business or just wrecked.
Half a million or so businesses for sure have closed that will never return.
Mm-hmm.
That's 500,000 families that have lost everything now.
Yeah. And the whole point of science is to question results and to constantly test and improve and refine and the people that spoke out were also equally impressively credentialed, actually more so,
definitely more so than him.
More so,
he's been wrong about a lot over the years.
Considerably.
He's the guy that first floated the theory that fucking direct contact with people that had HIV could spread.
Yeah. Right?
He's the first person that promoted that in the public when he worked at the NIH. It led to decades of like literal violence against the gay community, right? And also people like Magic Johnson, for example, having to retire where he didn't necessarily need to.
Yeah,
like he worked out for him in the end, I guess, because he was already rich. But it could have gone poorly.
How has he been employed in these positions for so long? I mean, that's rare, isn't it, for somebody to be involved at that level for that many, you know, administrations?
He probably it's either gone under the radar or he knows something about someone.
Right. There's something because nobody holds a position like that for that.
Yeah. But I think did he start under Reagan?
Carter.
Oh, it did?
In the
Carter.
70s. Okay. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So, I mean, he's been in there ever since, and whoever was in there, look, Trump could have fired him, should have fired him, but that would have looked bad right before the election because all that happened, if you remember, in the run-up to the election.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a March through October timeframe there where he had to deal with Fauci's bullshit. So when they shut down, the optics would have been horrible if you would have fired him then. But I'm surprised Biden doesn't fire him now and say, all right, you're all done.
They said they would never fire him.
If Biden fires him now, then he's admitting that Trump was right.
But Biden has also called for that commission against Wuhan. So
Yeah, so he can control.
You can, well, you can he, control the narrative.
He wants to
narrative.
Control the. He doesn't not for, fuck the narrative. He wants to control the investigation itself. That's what he wants. They're gonna. What will happen is they will go to whomever the investigative panel is, whether it's the FBI or whether it's some commission, and they will find like, hey, I want this guy, and this guy to fucking do the investigation, mm-hmm. and then they will tell that guy offline everything runs through me, and then everything that's fucking salient to the point of prosecution or involving anybody outside of Fauci himself will get shut down unless it makes the other side look bad.
Hypothetical here, like, because I mean, I've always believed that the reason why that narrative about it originating in the lab, the reason why that was squashed is because the moment you acknowledge that, then you have to deal with it, right? You have to actually deal with the fact that the worst global catastrophe ever was caused accidentally by another country.
Well, not solely by another country, right?
We were funding some of that research.
Yeah, and the money that went there via Fauci's, Fauci being the head of the organization, was in direct violation of federal law, right? So gain-of-function research had been outlawed in the United States, and funding to it had also been outlawed. And he got money to them anyways.
Wasn't there like a sunset clause or something to where he
used a loophole in the bill to get money to them, but right. The effect was the same, right? That's why they've recently updated it to make it illegal again.
Right, illegal. We couldn't conduct the gain-of-function research, but we could fund, well, China.
We could fund could fund labs provided we weren't directly funding gain-of-function research, but he gave $1 million to China.
If it is
to allow them to gain a bunch of research, so like what the fuck do you think they were going to do with it, asshole?
If it was established that the thing did originate in a lab, like what would the recourse be? Like what would the recourse be for that? I mean,
prove it was intentional,
but even accidental. I mean, if I accidentally swerve into your car, I'm liable for the damages.
There
is
an international court where countries have been sued in international court. Right,
but so this would be a big one.
Like yeah. That, I mean, it would be interesting to do that, and then file a settlement for whatever our debt to China is. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, that's over now.
See ya.
Because our economy just got butt fucked because you guys can't do your jobs. By the way, gain of function research, it from the data that I've read, usually about one virus per year gets out. One a
Boy.
Year.
I don't even want to hear shit like that. If we had to go through this whole fucking thing again, that's it, man.
Or imagine something that was really fucking deadly.
Like actually lethal, yeah.
Yeah, well, something that really fucked you up.
Breaking news out of China, they just shut down again. A certain section, 1 million people have been quarantined. There is new variants, and they're worried that the vaccinations they've been using do not cover the new variants.
You don't believe any of this, right?
I don't know.
Like, if the U.S. government is using this shit to control people, and if you don't believe they are, look in fucking California.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this guy's refused to give up power.
Yeah.
He took emergency powers and has refused to give them up now, even though they're done with that shit. So, if you think the U.S. government's doing it, what the fuck do you think China's doing? You know what I mean?
True. The difference is, though, is that the U.S. government needed an excuse to seize power and control people. The Chinese government doesn't, though, right? They don't need an excuse. They just weld you into your fucking apartment.
Sure, yeah, in a lot of ways, but the ability to do things and get away with it on the international stage, right? Yeah. Or like cordon off an area so people can't get in and out of it, because look, we've got officers over there all the time trying to get into communities and figure shit out. Particularly, I mean, I would assume, I don't know this to be true, but I would assume there are quite a few intelligence operators in the hinterland in China trying to figure out how they're stealing all of these fucking intellectual property secrets and the data and stuff like that. And then probably on the fucking East Coast right there in those new provinces trying to figure out where all this fucking data manipulation and hacks are coming from, right? You would think they're going to be over there, but if you can fucking cut off that area and cordon off for a while, you can do some shit on the slide. Nobody ever fucking know about it.
Yeah. The Chinese authorities' response was that it is the Delta variant which has caused widespread loss over in India. The city tested practically its entire population of 18.7 million between Sunday and Tuesday, some of them for a second time. It has also put neighborhoods with a total of more than 180,000 residents into total lockdowns with practically no one allowed out except for medical testing. I don't know if that's true.
What's the source?
India is, this is just normal MSN.
Wow.
So, like, this is your most basic general news you can possibly get.
Right.
It comes with your computer.
But the the source of news is always important. And
I'm not really at this point.
This is Microsoft,
so maybe it's Bill Gates.
No, it doesn't. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the source, the original source.
I'm not really inclined
to believe something that a Chinese politician has to say about this virus, for example, because they are on the hook for a lot.
Yeah, and for me, like, the India shit's been hidden, man. I haven't seen it that much on any fucking news at all. I know they're burning bodies in the street and all that other stuff just because, you know, friends will come in with articles or you know, but it's from not the major sources that you're hoping for. We were like, is it that bad or not?
Like, you would imagine with that level of population density and, you know, just the lack of hygiene, lack of running water
in a lot of places,
lack of medical care or any type of, you know, you
I mean, the influenza was fucking rough on people like a lot before we discovered the germ theory of fucking medicine, right? Before the early part of the 20th century, late part of the 19th century, that shit came through and you were fucked. Smallpox came through and you were fucked.
Yeah.
Measles, mumps, people died from shit that we don't even think about anymore. Pretty recently, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there are parts of the developing world that just don't have the resources.
Yeah, running water.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not sure if any of this is true or whatever. I also wonder how it affects the Olympics. It looks like they're going for it. It looks like everybody's
in Japan, you mean?
Yeah,
they lost. So I think it requires a total of like 30,000 volunteers to put that shit on.
Mm-hmm.
And 10,000 people have already bailed on it. But, you know, I mean, they could find 10,000 more shit.
Yeah. Bailed why? Like, is this like a legitimate health concern? Is this virtue signaling?
The narrative is they bailed because of COVID, but I don't know that that's true. What did they ask all 10,000 of them?
Survey.
Like, where's the information? I just don't believe anything anybody says anymore.
Unless
there's a legit reason to believe it.
But like you were saying earlier, there's always a reason behind something else, and where's the source, and what are they trying to get out of it? We were talking about the LeBron James thing right before we came on air, about him changing his jersey number to number 6, and trying to figure out what the significance of that was.
Been
reported that he is wearing the number 6 in Space Jam, and a new poster just dropped about an hour ago with him wearing the number 6. So
he's changing it during these playoffs?
Well, he's out of these playoffs.
I guess that's true.
So you have to do it the summer.
Yeah, because Jordan tried that 40 or that 23 correct. Bullshit. What do you get fined, like $50,000 or something?
Yeah, and so you got to do it before the next calendar season starts, which clearly he has done, but he is also number 6 in Space Jam 2, and that is where a big bulk of his money is coming from, because he's got a huge back end on that movie. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, I wonder.
Think the inverse would, right? You would think that the jersey in Space Jam would be your.
He didn't want to use 23 because Jordan.
Yes.
And that's what he wears in Lakers. That actually all
Jordan,
makes sense.
Jordan was in Space Jam.
I think that's actually a reasonable decision.
I will go a level deeper on you.
I would have done that too, I think.
There is clauses in these negotiations for movies where you can negotiate merchandise. One of the big ones for a movie like this would be jersey sales. So, by LeBron changing to 6, however many Space Jam jersey numbers they sell with the number 6 on it around the world, like, he'll get a massive cut of that, and so I'm sure this is a huge financial business.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, though.
Makes sense. Might try to get his number, or two numbers retired with the Lakers, like Kobe.
No. He's not anywhere near Kobe Bryant,
right.
And he will only be in that city for 4 years.
They probably won't get one number retired, but he'll, in his head, he might try to get, you know, too.
God, could you imagine? If he did, I would be so pissed off with the Lakers.
That's like a thing reserved for people that have
played their entire career.
Burned their entire career.
Look, I'm sure LeBron's got his finger on the pulse of China and everything else, and he's got the early jersey sales out of China. He's just like, hey, we're doing this, fam. Pack up, we're heading to 6. You know, we're not doing 23 anymore.
Was there ever any blowbacks? I don't follow sports like I used to, but was there any blowback for the for the tweet about the police officer and your
people
next
let him up on Twitter for 2 days, but the media
let him. There wasn't like any type of reprimand from the league or from anything like
that. No, they're not going to reprimand him for that.
And then he also broke COVID protocol by going to a party with Drake.
Yeah.
What was it? Kylie Jenner was releasing a tequila, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he had to go to that party, obviously. And happened. Nothing happened magically. They were like, "Now we're good on that, man." Lemon Pepper Lou went to strip clubs.
I don't really care about that, though. I think it's your instinct to say that it's hypocritical and expect that person to face some consequences for it. But I think you mentioned this earlier too. There should be no consequences, and that should be a good thing that there aren't.
Yeah,
like him going to fucking some party because of COVID. A party full of young, affluent people who are the least at risk for anything ever, specifically this shit.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, but it's not, I don't have a problem with that at all. I think about people that couldn't go to like their grandmother's funeral or something.
Yeah, right? For sure.
You know? Or other people that are held at a different, there are other players that have been reprimanded for breaking COVID.
You look at the guy, the golfer who got pulled off the course, man. Rahm, that was the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, he tested positive, no symptoms, and he was like in the lead, wasn't he? He was
six shots.
Yeah, it was six shots.
Four shots.
Yeah, okay. And it turned out it was a false positive, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think.
Well, he already had COVID.
He already had COVID, so it was like.
So he was like again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do in that spot, man? I mean,
fucking sport.
Yeah, you sue it, or you know, if.
But do you want to be litigious in that spot? If it was you, if you were in that spot, would you? I probably would be mad enough to sue simply because it's fucking retarded.
It was. He would have won $1.6 million just for that tournament,
right?
So, but a lot of money.
But a win,
also the FedEx Cup points. You
know. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that pays you $10 million bonus too.
The win on your record, if it's. I mean, it wasn't a major, right?
No.
Yeah, but the win on your if it had been a major, the win on your record gets you lifetime access to that major, which basically qualifies you for at least the minimum payout from that forever. You know what I mean? So you'd have to accrue that too.
There's some real damages there. Then there's quite a few.
Damages, dude. This keeps.
Well,
going.
That wasn't the case because this isn't a major. So
no,
but it could have been worse, I guess. But it's what do you say to that guy? What do you say to people whose businesses have been shut down?
It was a false positive.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I think one of those cases was definitely false positive, but I don't remember which one it was.
But either way, you're asymptomatic and you're on a golf course, right?
Right. I mean,
put a mask on.
Or get the vaccine at that point, I guess. If you're playing for 1.6,
literally don't have to go near anyone else or touch anything playing golf, except for your own clubs.
They don't actually test anyone that actually gets the vaccine. It's like an incentive to get the vaccine.
Really?
Yeah. But we've found out from the Cleveland Clinic trials, which we'll talk about tomorrow.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Right. But incentives for the vaccine in and of itself is a funny conversation, right? You know, like free donuts and, enter to win $1 million. My girlfriend, her former employee, the employer, they were offering trips, like cruises.
Mm-hmm.
To get. Like you would think that you shouldn't need to incentivize someone to get a vaccine if it was all that critical, right? I mean, if the disease itself was that inherently dangerous, and if the vaccine was that inherently good.
No, they're giving guns away in West Virginia. Yeah. Are you doing it?
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I thought about it for that one.
You're like, at my place of business? No, we're definitely not.
I'm not worried about the effects of the vaccine necessarily. I think it's just a way for the pharmaceutical industry to rob us of a bunch of money, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they were giving me a gun for it, probably give it a shot. Depends on the gun.
I've been thinking about this because, I'm going to have, we're doing some international work. We're in a couple of countries. And so I'm wondering if there is going to be some type of a requirement for entry.
There is. Some countries have already said, hey, there's going to be.
And so I thought about, if I had to get the vaccine, am I worried about the effects of it? I mean, all the weird shit I've put in my body over the years, I probably shouldn't. Be too worried about the vaccine. I don't know if I'd recommend it for my kids to get it or something.
Yeah.
But if I have to do it for international work, maybe. I don't know. It's a weird conversation to have, right? Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Like today, I walked my 2-year-old into preschool, right? Mm-hmm. They have this summer course where they get to do a bunch of stuff, and it's fun, and there's a bunch of kids in there and everything. It's the first time, because I took him there right when COVID happened. It's the first time I actually get to walk into the school ever. I've never met the teachers. I got to physically walk into the school today. No one was wearing masks. All the kids were playing. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is crazy. And all the teachers were like, right? Isn't this amazing? And I was like, yes, yes, it is. And I go, it's nice to finally see what we're paying for here for all of this and everything else. And, yeah, I had no idea. And it was strange. And it didn't dawn on me until I got back to the car where I was just like, shit, man, imagine dropping your kid off for, you know, it's the same place every day for a year, and you don't know the teachers, you've never seen them, you've never even seen the inside of the school. And that's exactly what happened today. I was like, wow, weird.
Did you establish dominance in any way?
No, I did not. The
fuck is wrong with you?
I said, thank you, ma'am, and, and went on about my day.
This is why I've started a new charity, and it's not really a charity so much as it's just me taking some time out of my schedule to raise your children. Just every now and again, sure. Like as a supplement.
Yeah,
like you're getting a little bit of sun, but I'm vitamin D.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Right?
I get it.
That's all I'm saying.
I like it.
Because you need to establish dominance over anybody that comes into your child's life.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to assault or berate them, but you should establish some sort of dominance for sure.
Well, you do at home, just not at school. Once you're in the school, you're at the mercy of those teachers and everything else. So
I'm at the mercy of no man.
You are. But you don't have children yet.
That's right. And if I did have children and I felt like they were at the mercy of someone else, that person would know what the consequences of violating that fucking mercy was.
Well, there was nothing put on me as a father.
Just make a pamphlet and it describes like, hey, if you treat my child poorly, here are some of the options that are going to happen to you, right?
You know, they got plenty of that with the Karens who call in and everything else. So that is a very, very real thing.
You establish your presence there, right? And you let the teachers know that you do have an involvement in your kid's life. I mean, that part is, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Established. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Is that what you're, like. You know, you want them to know that I'm watching you.
I want them to know that if some kid is trying to bully my kid knocks their ass out, and my kid gets in trouble for it, we're going to have a fucking problem.
And you preemptively would do this.
Yes.
Not reactively.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to fucking push it into a conversation inorganically.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm pretty good at bringing up shit. Like, I'm pretty good at leading conversations where I want them to go.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
So. And if you pull the kid aside and no other parent can hear you, it's just a conversation between you and him, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you and him and his teacher overhearing you. That's what I would do. If somebody fucks with you, light their ass up.
Right.
And then I'll come to your defense, and I want the teacher to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Because I want her to know that's exactly what the fuck I'm going to say when I come in for that parent-teacher. Right.
Same, because we have the same rules at home where I'm like, hey. Don't start a fight, but you
like seriously. We were out.
You can end any fight you want.
There's this Mexican restaurant out near his house that we go to sometimes. And there's
a
playground out back where the kids play, and we were there one day, and some kid on the playground was being a dick.
Yeah,
to Jackson, right?
Jackson,
and he actually looked over. He looked over at Ross. Was like, "Can I handle this?" He's like, "Good, go ahead."
Gave him the old thumbs up.
Then he fucking put him in an armbar.
Yes.
Wow.
And so that's the way to do it. The kid got up. The bully got up. They
and it's
shook
a good
hands,
lesson. Because
and he's like, hey, do you want to play?
Real,
he's like, yes.
Real power is disciplined, right?
Sure.
Masculinity is not toxic. Weakness is fucking toxic.
Yeah, sure.
Weak people lash out. What's more dangerous, a confident dog that's not shaky or a dog that's backed into a corner? You know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously, the one backed in the corner is more dangerous. It's more likely, not as more dangerous, it's also more likely to attack.
Yeah, and that's also healthy conflict resolution, right?
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, that there was something, I think society was better adjusted when you could settle it like boys and then shake hands. And a lot of my best friends are guys that I clocked in the face or vice versa.
Yeah. But I mean, if you got to resolve things at the lowest possible level.
Right.
That's the whole purpose of learning conflict resolution as a child. You know what I mean? Like they realize that it's easier just to do what the fuck ever. Like whatever's right and stay within the lines most of the time, then deal with the consequences typically, right? And that's not only like a discipline issue, but it's also just like you take people's time away. You can take shit away from your kids, but you can take their time away. That'll fucking solve issues real quick.
Yeah. No.
I think.
I did too.
I've read a lot of research on that. That is what's always been said.
Oh yeah.
Because
kids
will just fucking find something else to do.
What do you got fun going on at Sons of Liberty these days?
Man, it's crazy. I mean, we're guns. Trying to guns. I mean,
well, how did that law help you guys? The Texas law.
Which one? The
concealed carry.
They don't.
You guys don't sell.
So
guns,
yeah,
right?
Constitutional carry. I mean, I don't think that. I mean, I was very supportive of that and active in getting it passed. But professionally, that doesn't necessarily help me at all, other than I think it's good for the overall tone that the state is finally saying that they're gun-friendly. Texas gets a lot of credit for being a gun-friendly state whenever we're kind of behind, you know, others, right. You know, several other states in firearm law.
Right.
But the tone is definitely there. We were talking about this earlier, that if Trump had been president, constitutional carry probably would have never have passed in Texas, because, you know, right now is a good opportunity to take some ground, because you're kind of being the anti-Biden. You're playing into the theater of politics, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, I could probably propose something right now to put machine guns in vending machines, and I'd probably find a representative to sponsor it because it's the most anti-Biden thing ever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you kind of, that's just how it works.
Which is shitty, isn't it?
It really is. It's kind of all theater. But I'll take my victories and go.
Yeah, when you can get them. I get it, man. Business still booming,
dude. It's pretty crazy. I mean, the gun business is volatile in the sense that it's a lot of ups and downs, but it's steady. We're growing. I mean, it's amazing. I think you're going to see ammo start to plateau and normalize a little bit. I think things are softening a little bit, but I would expect a lot of up and down in the next couple of years. You know, it's just
because of politics or just what's going on in the world in general?
I mean, just in general. I mean, I people have turned to guns for, you know, like legitimate defensive purposes, right? So, I mean, if there's any kind of social unrest, if the next time there's, you know, riots of any kind, if there's a new strain of the pandemic, I mean, like, you know, guns have become, you know, right along there with toilet paper and,
right.
and yeah. gasoline hoarding. And
but it's always like that. Else. I mean, nobody sells more guns than Democrats, frankly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because any, like when Obama got elected that first
same,
year.
Yeah, same thing.
Like the first quarter of 2009, record sales.
Because everybody was worried that they're going to end 2A and all this other stuff. So you go out, you run out and get them.
Right. So, but once the kind of that panic or that fear reaches a peak, it dips off. And then unfortunately, some social event, some event happens, and then it kind of ramps it up, and it keeps doing that. It's very hard in my industry to scale or to plan, because, you know, it, 6 months from now could be in the tank or it could be through the roof, and I mean, how do you scale? How do you plan for that? You
know? Our audience wants to know: is ammo coming down?
I do think that ammo. I don't know if it's going to necessarily come down. I think prices have stabilized and plateaued. I think you're going to see supply like start to become a little bit more available. But in terms of normalizing, you're probably still about 2 years out from whenever you can walk into a store on demand, buy whatever you want for regular prices and walk out.
Primers are hard to find.
Primers,
right?
Yeah.
Especially more so than I think anything. And it's the process of building the primer in a safe way is apparently difficult.
Well, there's EPA issues. Yeah. I mean, like, so there's a lot of stuff that goes into, and we don't have a nitrocellulose production really in the U.S. The military does, but like commercially we don't. There's some problems there. But, you know, you have to think, you have to resupply, not just, you know, when you see the store shelf, like that's the very end of the distribution game, right? I mean, you know, you have to rebuild all that inventory and then renormalize the distribution of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a long time before it's just the good old days, you know?
Yeah.
So,
look, man, we always appreciate you on the show, dude. You're just a fucking great dude, very knowledgeable and very smart. It's nice to have you on, you know what I'm saying? It's not just like, fuck yeah, this is this and this is that, fuck you, I don't got, you know, like, it's great. Like, you have a very great approach to all of these issues.
It's a blast, man. I'm glad to come hang out with you guys.
For sure.
You definitely have a nuanced take on a lot of stuff when most people in the industry do not.
No. I mean, typically it's the other way. You know other gun store owners where they're like, fuck you, dude. Yeah.
I wonder how much of that is a character you play and how much of that is like real. Because, I mean, you have to be able to operate in fucking reality. And reality is nuanced, dude.
I mean,
the real world is complicated.
Well, you don't have to be able to operate in reality, really, because there's an entire infrastructure and support system to live outside of reality right now. Right? The entire media is like that right now.
Yeah.
And if Logan Paul would have won, that would have been the sim world.
Not only are you capable of doing that and existing and not losing like credibility publicly, but like they're literally supporting you as you do it now, believing this nonsense.
No.
Maybe that's always been like that. I don't know.
Who knows? This is the point in the show. We get to the drinking bro of the week. We actually have a bunch in studio. So I tell you what, let's do this. Will you swap out with them? And then we'll bring you guys on one by one here. Come on up. We'll go to a wide. Greg, everybody, the whole family back there. Let's go. Come on up. There it is, Greg and Beth. Who else? Are you guys ashamed, or you don't want to come up here and be like, no, I'm not being on this show today?
Yeah, I'm not gonna
be on this show today. Is that what you're gonna? We can fit all you in on one camera, and then we'll take turns with the mics here. How about that?
There you go.
How about that? There it is. So come on in. So this monitor right here, you can see all yourselves on. There you go. Boom. Come on in. There it is. There it is.
Nice.
Thanks for having us. Come on up to the mic right there.
Barely touch the floor here.
There
so.
You go. I'd say what, sure, go to a two shot so that way you've got all of these guys there in there. Perfect. Look at that.
Nice.
Look at that.
It's a happy little
family. Greg, I know you. I've known you for a very long time. Yes, I actually did your 100th episode on Greg and Beth.
Thank you very much for doing that. That was great.
Of course, dude.
It's awesome.
We've been homies for a long time. You've been a long time listener.
Yeah.
Always supportive of us, and we are unbelievably grateful to it. Tell everybody where they can find your show.
You can find our show at The Bar is Open with Beth and Greg on YouTube and Facebook Live, which is generally where we go, and then out on Spotify and iTunes.
Yeah, and you guys are married the same as Jesse and I. That's his lovely wife back there repping the Black Rifle Coffee.
Nice.
We love to see it. Tell everybody your name.
Jacob Nickel.
Jacob Nickel, there it is. Pop. Go in closer, Jacob.
Jacob Nickel.
There it is. Jacob, you've been an old school homie, dude, for... Fuck, I feel like I've known you for 6 years or something like that.
I joined literally like 2 months after like Drinking Bros started.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, you've been one of the best guys on the board every single day. Like, you know, we typically go live on YouTube. Obviously, we're shadow banned. We never really get above 500. You always make it in there somehow. Put the mic close to your face. Again, pull it up. There you go. Did you not get notifications? Because you're in there all the time. What's the real shit behind the scenes?
Half the time I don't get notifications. Yeah. Like sometimes we'll get them on Facebook, but not YouTube. Then sometimes we'll get them on YouTube, not Facebook. So I said, just kind of watch and refresh. And we have like a group chat. And so then like if somebody sees it, then they'll just message it out. And that's how we generally know.
Hey, guys, they're on.
That's actually what we do. Somebody will throw up something and it'll say, hey, they're live.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
So then we all can pop on.
God damn it. We try to tell people all the time. What about the bell? They say, hey, ding the bell for notifications.
Supposed to happen.
No, nothing. Yeah. Huh?
No.
Amazing. Well, if you heard this show, shit. They're anti-vax anyway, so this one's nuked. You might not even see yourselves. That would be the beauty of it. You didn't get a notification for yourself. That would be awesome. You come on in. What's your name? There you go. Hop on
I'm
in.
Julia.
Julia.
Yeah.
Julia Gulia.
Yeah.
Put it over to your mouth. There you go.
Closer.
Say your full government name for
the
people.
Oh, my full government name. Julia Munguia.
There it is.
That's the correct pronunciation.
I know. And I fuck it up every time.
I don't have it.
Every time.
We know this about you.
And again, a day one homie for all of our shows on the network. We honestly, we love you guys more than life itself. Although I did tell Greg to come tomorrow. I was like, hey.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you told us
both. Well, she showed up, so I was tomorrow. Like, I might as well.
And we were like, we had planned to see everybody on Wednesday. We were like, shit, what do we do?
Oh, really?
We can just you say, not come fuck tomorrow? It, can we just show up? No, I think we're going to be here both days. I don't know about
might as well.
What his plans are.
Okay, cool.
But I was like, yeah, for sure.
Yes, tomorrow's a good one because it's all the shows are here. And
we're
kind of running in and out, dealing with some last-minute seltzer stuff. Behind the scenes,
Seltzer.
Nobody understands it, behind the scenes where it's just like you're on the phone and you're like, God damn it.
Busy.
I can't talk to the CPA anymore about what, you know? Jeez. But it's a blast, and we love having you guys here tomorrow. We'll be able to get rocked all day.
It'll be fun.
Shit.
Yeah.
Dan's got a flight tomorrow night, so.
Beth can drive us home.
We have RPR, and then we have fake news, and then. I think Broettes is recording upstairs here.
Yeah, they had like two episodes.
Yeah, the operation is massive. I don't think people realize.
It's changed a lot since we were here for the election show,
right?
Yeah, we were here in November, awesome. And it's like there's just so much is different. Yeah.
It keeps changing, and we keep adding shows and everything else, and it's great. Talking to another show this afternoon, actually, right when we get off the air, that we're amped about. Do you guys listen to the new shows like Softcore History or Iconoblast and all that stuff? Like
we're all in. I'm all in.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
absolutely.
Those guys are great. I love their show.
Icebreakers, their show.
Yeah. Everything, man. Yeah. We try to get things that people like. We got a new one coming out with Mike the Cop and Eric Tanzi.
I saw that.
Called Cop Talk, and that's going to start June 18th, so a week from Friday. Man. And
the real. It's Eric Tanzi official.
It is. Yeah. He had to get a new Instagram.
He had to get the new
Instagram. I told him. I was like, hey, Mike's got a huge following, man. If you don't want to put pictures of your kids up there every day.
Yeah.
So he got a new one. That's actually going to launch off of Mike's page because he doesn't have the same restrictions as we do, which is great. And it's, you know, the importance of that is it's two cops. And
yeah,
we wanted to create a show where they can say whatever they wanted to say without repercussion for anything. And just go over the cases and say what was honest about it, what wasn't honest about it. We don't give a shit.
Straightforward.
We're one of the only networks that's like, say whatever you want.
Yeah.
There's just one word you can't say.
The one.
That's the Hunter Biden word. you know.
Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. I mean,
those are easy rules to follow. Shit.
Yeah. Since you guys have listened for so long, are you able to do the outro on this?
Oh, God.
No, your show. You do it on mine, barely.
Yeah, you've got your own show. I don't do shit for that. So.
All right, I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay. For Ross Patterson, Greg, Beth, Jacob, and Julia Mongolia, who I always call you every single time in the boards. This is the real Drinking Bros, by the way, and Ross Patterson Revolution and all that stuff. It is because of you guys. We greatly appreciate it. Shout out to Sons of Liberty for being here as well. Good night, everyone.
Hey y'all, life's journey is filled with change, growth, and exciting new chapters. Whether you're welcoming a new family member, stepping into a new city, or chasing after your biggest dreams, you need a ride that's built with more space for the grand challenges ahead. The Toyota Grand Highlander is made for those who embrace every twist and turn. With advanced safety features, innovative tech, and a bold, sophisticated design, it's the SUV that adapts with you with room to spare. This spacious beauty seats up to 8, gives you up to 97.5 cubic feet of cargo space, and has a diverse engine lineup, available in gas or hybrid options, including the powerful 362-horsepower Hybrid Max. Plus, available all-wheel drive means you'll have confidence no matter where life takes you. Ready to take on your dreams? The Grand Highlander is more than a vehicle. It's your partner in embracing all life throws at you. From daily routines to unexpected adventures, it's up for every grand challenge. Learn more at toyota.com/Grand Highlander. Toyota, let's go places.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.